It's time now for Bible Talk. Join our hosts, Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw, speakers for the Amazing Facts Ministry, as they now open the Bible and discuss themes that affect your life today. Stay tuned, because the next 15 minutes will deepen your understanding of God's Word.
Hi, friends, and welcome again to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and the Bible issues and Bible subjects that affect you today. Great to have you with us. I'm John Bradshaw. With me is Gary Gibbs. Hi, Gary.
Hi, John. We are discussing a very, very important topic.
The mark of the beast. It doesn't get much more important or controversial or confused than the mark of the beast.
In fact, we've spent the last couple programs, and we can't rehash all this. Our listeners are going to have to call in, write in, get the past studies that we have covered.
And you know that on Bible Talk, you can do that. Just call our number, email us, we'll get you the Bible studies that we're offering, and we urge you to do that. Listen at the end of this program today for that information.
But let me just say what we have discovered, and I hope this will spark some interest. We have learned, and you have shown us from the Scriptures, that the mark of the beast is not, and I did say that correctly, not 666.
That's right. 666 is the number of the beast. That's something altogether different. Related, but the number and the mark are two separate things.
You know, I want to say something that we haven't said yet on this program, John, but that is probably, if this is true, let me back up a half second. If it is true that 666 is not the mark of the beast, then that is the biggest deception on this topic that has been pawned off on Christianity than anything else.
And I tell you, it's an unnecessary deception. All you need to do is pick up your Bible and read. I had a man, and I mentioned this a couple of programs back, if I remember correctly. He said to me, I read in the Bible that the Antichrist will have three sixes tattooed on his head.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know what Bible you were reading it out of, and I opened mine and read to him Revelation 13, verse 18, that 666 is the number of the beast. He said, you know, I guess I'm wrong. And then he confessed that in truth, the knowledge that he has on the subject, and much of it very confused, isn't anything he got out of the Bible. He said, I get most of my understanding from the television, from the movies, from the best-selling books. I really don't read my Bible. Friend, you got to read your Bible for yourself. Just reading through some of these passages, even if you don't understand everything, just reading them will cause you to gain great knowledge, and you'll lose a lot of confusion and misunderstanding.
It really is clear, because it says it's the number of his name. It doesn't say it's the number of the beast. It says it's the number of his name. His name adds up to 666.
Yeah.
Very clear.
It says it's not the mark of the beast. You're quite right about
that.
All right.
But here we are. You know, if most people believe it is the mark is 666, then I get to thinking about that, and I say, well, it's not in the Bible. Then the devil then has pawned off this deception to get us all looking for something that's not going to happen, because he's going to sneak up with what the real mark is, and we're not going to suspect him.
Absolutely right. If you're looking in the wrong direction, then when the real thing comes along, if you're not looking for it, you won't know it when it comes, and it'll take you as an overwhelming surprise and a great deception. That's what the devil's doing, setting people up to be confused and swept away. That's why the Bible says the majority of people in the last days will follow the beast, because they will be convinced that the dangerous things are other than what exists before their eyes.
Now, John, I want to kind of take us now in a direction, a new direction today, because as I have explored this and as I've studied it with people, I have heard this said, that people say, well, it really doesn't matter, because I'm not going to be here. I am going out in the rapture. In fact, we had a program. I was hosting a live Bible Answers program, and somebody called in and said, what does it matter anyway? I'm not going to be here. I'm going up in the rapture. It's all the people who are left who have to worry about that, not me.
I've had many people tell that to me right to my face. Hey, what does it matter? I'm not going to be around. But does the Bible say that? In fact, let me show you right in the Bible in Revelation chapter 13 how important it is. The chapter Revelation 13 starts off about talking about the beast.
Okay.
Seven or eight verses talking about the beast, how the world will follow the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says in verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. It does not say anyone other than those who think they're going to get out of here early. Anyone other than those caught up in the rapture. It just says you need to hear if you've got ears. And by hear, it's not just saying, listen to John and Gary on Bible Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying hear, know, understand, and have this word in your heart. So no matter when you think you're getting out of here, you ought to understand and have a solid understanding of this. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how can we think that it would be God's will for us not to understand it or not to try to understand it when what you read in Revelation shows us and reveals to us Jesus himself?
John, that's right. You know, this whole topic really talks about the rapture, and we're talking about the mark of the beast. It does tie into when the rapture happens. But we did a whole program on the rapture, and we have a study on the rapture, the second coming of Christ. If our listeners want to call in at the end of the program, we'll give the phone number, the email address. They can contact us, enroll in our Bible course, and we will send them these studies. But without going into the rapture topic specifically, why do you say we're going to be here? Because a lot of people believe from Revelation 4 on, that's all written for the people who are left here. Because when all the Christians are gone, they're going to say, wow, we heard those Christians talk about this. They're going to grab their Bibles. Well, maybe they don't have Bibles. They'll grab our Bibles that we left behind.
Okay, all right.
And they're going to start reading, and they're going to say, ah, I'm the one who has to have an ear to hear. What tells you that we're all going to be here during this Mark of the Beast time? And if that's the case, you need to give me and our listeners some assurance that, you know, everything's going to be okay going through that type of time of terrible trial and trouble, as the Bible calls it.
Well, trial and trouble never feels and never seems terribly good at the best of times. So I'm not going to ever tell anybody that being a Christian is always going to be a picnic and a walk in the park and any other cliche that you would hope to insert right there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus promised you that if you have the privilege of being a Christian, then, you know, you're in for some rather interesting experiences. At one time, Jesus shared a parable. Now, anyway, let's talk about this specifically. Will you be here or will you not be here?
That's right. That's the question.
He talked to the disciples about a man who was sowing seed in the field. While men slept, his enemy, this is Matthew 13, I'm in verse 25, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. I'm going to get down to verse 30. You know the gist of that story.
Mm-hmm.
The tares grow up, the wheat grows mm-hmm. up. Early on, you can't really discern one from the other. Mm-hmm. They say, shall we tear the tares up? Well, no, don't do that. You might pull up some of the good.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said in verse 30, let both grow together until the, do you know?
The end.
The harvest is the word he uses right mm-hmm. to the end. And it says in the same chapter, the harvest is the end
of
the
world.
Mm-hmm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just going to be biblical about this, God said very clearly in Matthew chapter 13, the wheat and the tares, that's the good and the bad, mm-hmm. grow together, the saved and the lost,
mm-hmm.
grow together, exist together, until the harvest, which is the end of the world. If somebody was going to get out of here early, if the wheat was going to evacuate this mm-hmm. place and be raptured out early, Jesus would have said something completely different.
Hmm.
But he didn't. He said, the wheat and the tares, they grow together until the harvest, which is the end of the world. I don't know about you, but I don't see anybody getting out early in this parable or anywhere else in the Bible.
Well, that makes me think about Revelation chapter 14, because in verses 14 and 15, it talks about the harvest. It says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is
ripe.
And so the person doing the harvesting is the Son of Man, Jesus.
Absolutely.
And the time that the harvest comes, according to what you just read in Matthew 13:39,
is
that's the end of the world.
Right.
Now, what's significant here to me is that preceding the harvest scene here in Revelation 14:14, John, it warns people against the mark of the beast.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's the most fearsome warning in all the Bible. It says, if you receive the mark of the beast, then you're going to burn in the fires of hell.
Right.
But then in the same context, it says, but there will be these saints, Revelation 14:12. This calls for patient endurance on behalf of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has the second coming in verse 14. So that tells me before the harvest, before Jesus comes, we've got the mark of the beast going on right along the side of God's saints patiently enduring.
No, I'm just concerned for the person who's hearing this and is considering something for the first time and now is fearful. Now,
John, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because there are people who are extremely fearful. I met a lady one time that just basically needed a sedative after she learned this because her whole religious experience was built around the hope of getting out of here. It was a fire escape religion.
Getting out before some terrible, unimaginably awful period of tribulation and pain grips and racks this earth. You know, preachers, I'm not sure exactly why they want to fill people with fear. When you come to Jesus, according to the Bible, perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have a relationship with Jesus that allows us to see ahead through the prophecies of the Bible to what's coming. But we face them with confidence and with a calm assurance in Jesus as our Savior.
What is God going to do for His people that are alive and go through this time of trial and trouble surrounding the mark of the beast? Tell us, John, what assurance can I have? Because as I look at myself now, I don't have what it's going to take to go through that time.
No question.
So what assurance do I have that I am going to be able to endure and have the peace of God in my heart through that time?
The famous preacher Spurgeon was approached by a woman one day who said, Mr. Spurgeon, I don't have the faith necessary to be a martyr. He said, neither do I. She said, well, if you don't, how can I?
Hmm.
He said, if God wants me to be a martyr, He'll give me the faith necessary to be a martyr at that time. Daniel went into the lion's den. Don't tell me he went in there with a big old smile on his face, happy to be spending the night with lions. You seen lions at a zoo?
Mm-hmm.
They look good from a distance. They look good through the glass and through the bars of the cage. Daniel went in there, wondered what was going to take place, had faith in God. God delivered him. Look back to Egypt. Plagues fell then. The first three plagues fell on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The seven last plagues only affected the enemies of God. What did God do? He protected His people during that time, and we have that assurance.
And you know, that's good news. And John, that makes me think about Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. There we're hearing God speaking to people on planet Earth. He says, come out of her, come out of Babylon, my people. And Babylon is spiritual apostasy, the people following the beast.
Yes.
That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. That tells me there are two groups of people on planet Earth while the plagues are falling.
Right.
There's my people, and then there are Babylon's people. And if you stay in Babylon, you get the plagues. If you come out of Babylon, you don't get it. So we don't have to be fearful. I think a lot of preachers have painted this picture of the plagues falling on everybody. But if I am sheltered under the Almighty's care, God's going to protect me from a lot of this awful stuff, isn't He?
Yes, He is. He absolutely is. What He did for Daniel, He'll do for you. What He did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He'll do for you. Friend, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can face the future with confidence. And that's one of the key issues in the Mark of the Beast question, that if you belong to Jesus, you can have confidence for the future. Great subject, Gary. Thanks for being with us today, friend. We'll look forward to being with you again. Join us for more on this subject again next time on Bible Talk.
If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for
BT128, The Beast. Who will worship it?
The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678, or email us at bibletalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.